Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for being with us in every season of life, especially the hard ones. When we feel weak, confused, or weary, Lord, remind us that you haven't abandoned us. I know sometimes it might feel, God, that you have, but as we will unpack today, that is couldn't be further from the truth. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. Let it be your words today, not mine, spoken here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, good morning again.
Morning.
Exciting day. We're going to talk about worship in the wilderness. Who's ever been in the wilderness? Yeah. That's not the kind of wilderness I'm talking about today. I almost fell off of here, so I just had to pretend like I was just meant to walk off. No big deal. Be cool. Hey, your pastor just broke his ankle right when the sermon started. That would have been a treat for you guys, and you would have just been able to go home, and I would have gone to the emergency room. But anyway, there's some places that people just, this is going to bother me because this is where I like to go, right? There's some places that people don't even volunteer to go, right? They just won't even volunteer to do it. Like nobody wakes up and says, you know what would sound awesome? Grief. Right? That would sound really cool. Let's do that, right? Or loss. Or confusion, or brokenness, or whatever it is. Nobody really wakes up in the morning and is like, oh man, I really hope that I have to experience some grief today. Right? Not a single person, at least nobody that I know. And certainly nobody puts it on one of their vision boards, right? Like, ooh, this is going to be the coolest thing in the world. But if we walk with Jesus long enough, guess what? We're going to hit some of those things, right? We might not volunteer to go there, but we're going to hit some of those different things. And, you know, the wilderness that I'm talking about today is really kind of where chaos meets our life, right? Where chaos meets when life gets dirty, when life gets dry, when things are maybe not going so well for us. Right, that's where the wilderness is. When we have plans, and then they all fall apart. You know, it's a funny thing. Some of my therapist, he likes to say, you know, because you know, I like to tell him like, okay, I have this particular plan, and he's like, you know, there's nothing funnier to God than telling him your plan, because he's got his own plan, right? But when our plans fall apart or our preconceived notion of what should happen next doesn't happen, right? All these things, relationships break, where a job disappears, where prayer seems unanswered. I'm sure we've all been there at one point in time or another. You still believe in God, but you don't understand what he's doing, right? Anybody, you don't have to show your hands, but I would venture to guess a fair amount, if not all of you, would raise your hands and be like, yeah, I've been there, right? I still fully believe it and committed to him, but man, I just don't get what he's doing, right? I just don't understand at all. You know, the wilderness is not only a place of pain, but it's also a place where God meets us. He meets us in that wilderness. And oftentimes, I would say 100% of the time, that's where he really works on us, where he really just digs deep and just works on whatever's going on in our life. And that's why today's message is titled, True Worship Begins in the Wilderness. Because if we find ourselves in the wilderness, I would say a lot of times we might shut down. We might, you know, just start focusing on other things, right? Focusing on the problem instead of the solution, right? The solution being the guy who died on the cross, right? That's the solution, but we think of different solutions, and it just doesn't work out very well. And we're not talking about shallow worship or convenient worship. No, we're talking about deep, personal, intimate worship with Jesus. And it does begin in the wilderness, right? This type of worship begins in the wilderness. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this paints a picture of the life that we want, right? It says this: "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. And he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Yeah. Who just read that or listened to that and was like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. That's what I want. I would love that. A tree by streams of water, fruit in season, leaves that don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. Sounds pretty good, right? Sounds orderly. Sounds like how the Christian life should work, right? Like, I don't know anybody who maybe when you first became a Christian, you're like, oh man, I got this Jesus guy in my life now. Everything is going to be super awesome. I'm never going to have any problems, right? Everything is just going to be absolutely wonderful, right? Is it just me? Just me? That just happened to me, right? Well, if you understand Scripture even just a little bit, you know that's like the opposite of what's going to happen, right? Like, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have trials. We're going to have circumstances and situations that really wreck us. That's all part of the deal, right? Of being a follower of Jesus, that's part of the deal. And when you keep reading through the Psalms, the tone really changes. We're going to go through these very quickly here. And David says in Psalm 3, verse 1, "Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me." And then in 4:1, he cries, "Answer me when I call, God, who vindicates me. You freed me from affliction. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Who's ever prayed that? And then in Psalm 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my sighing. Pay attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for I pray to you." And then Psalm 22, verse 1, just is like a punch right in the chest. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning?" Right, so we go from, you know, The leaves are perfect and everything's going, everything prospers, to all of these problems, all these challenges. And that's where real life shows up. Right? That's where real life happens. Psalm 1 gives us truth. God blesses righteousness. He honors those who walk with him. But as we continue to read, we discover that living in a fallen world is a whole lot more complex. Sometimes the righteous suffer, right? Sometimes the wicked flourish. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to people who maybe in our mind don't deserve those types of things. That's just us being hypocritical. But sometimes faithful people still end up in the wilderness, right? And the Bible doesn't hide that from us. And honestly, I'm pretty thankful for that. One of the enemy's favorite lies is that if life is hard, God must be far away. Right? God, if life is difficult, God must be far away. But Scripture teaches us that that is totally opposite of what is true. Right? Moses met God in the wilderness, right? Israel learned dependence in the wilderness. David was shaped in the wilderness. Elijah heard God in the wilderness. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. And Jesus himself was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness in Matthew 4, verse 1. So wilderness isn't a sign of God's absence, right? It is really the very place that he has told you to be, right? To where he wants us to be. And I can tell you, who's somebody who's currently traversing through the wilderness, it's not always fun. And I've had some very unique, we'll say, conversations with God through this season. And I can tell you, I haven't been super nice to him, right? Because the wilderness isn't easy. It isn't fun. But I can tell you that as I continue to focus on him and what he's trying to teach me and what I'm learning and all these different things, that I am continuously filled with gratitude for what he's helping me see and helping me do and helping me change in my own life. But it is not fun. It's not fun at all. That matters. It's when people hit a hard season, they think that maybe they have done something terribly wrong, right? And that's not the case. Like maybe you thought, I must be failing, or I don't have enough faith, or whatever the case is, and that is not true. Maybe you think God is disappointed in you. Not true. Sometimes we're not outside the will of God at all, but sometimes we're right exactly where he is training us, right? And anybody who's ever trained for anything, you know, I don't know if there's any marathon runners, either past or present. If you train for a marathon, if you train for something, you know, it's not always a good time to, you know, to run 26 miles a day, right? I mean, I'm sweating just thinking of my wife running a 5K here in just a little bit, right? But training for things like that isn't always fun. Like wrestling, like, come on, do you really like doing burpees or up-downs or whatever, right? Not always the great time. You know, 1,000 push-ups a day? Probably not. But that's part of the process of learning and growing and becoming stronger. So as we continue to serve God, we can use that strength to continue to get us through whatever situation we might find ourselves in. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says, "Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years into the wilderness, so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." So, did you notice that? It says, the Lord led them there. The Lord led them to the wilderness. It wasn't random, it wasn't wasted. It was exactly where he wanted them to go at the exact time that he wanted them to be there. And that is the same, that's true for us as well. You think about John the Baptist, right? Man who pointed to Jesus and said in John 1:29, it's not on the screen, it says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world." He was a man who boldly prepared the way for the Messiah. And then in Matthew 11, while he was in prison, he sends messengers to ask Jesus a question in Matthew 11:3. "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" So even John, through the midst of his trial in prison, he's like, "Ooh, man, I got some questions. This is kind of hard. I'm struggling. Are you the one to come, or should we expect somebody else?" Discouragement can make even faithful people wonder, right? That's what happened to John. He's wondering. Like, "Lord, I know who you are, but I don't understand what you're doing." We already said that, right? Like, there's a lot of questions that we have when things are tough. And, you know, when things are going really well, we might not have a whole lot of questions. But that's when we should also be asking questions. But that's what the wilderness is. The deepest faith is not pretending you have no questions. Sometimes deepest faith is taking your questions to Jesus. Or that's why it's so important when we talk about that intimate relationship, that the prayer life that we long to have. You know, where do we ask Jesus those questions? It's when we're with him, right? When we're praying, when we're talking to him, and then you don't have to get all fancy. You can just talk to him like I'm talking right now. Like, Jesus, what is going on? What are you trying to teach me? Why am I going through this? You know, it's, instead of asking, you know, why, say, teach me what it is that you're trying to teach me. Right? No, this is, and I've talked about this before, you know, we've asked for like patience before, like, God, give me patience, right? No, God, this is legit what I ask when I know that I need patience. I said, God, give me an opportunity that requires patience so I can work on patience. Right, that's what I pray. I don't ask for patience. I don't want him to just give it to me freely. I want him to help me by giving me a circumstance or situation that will require patience. You know, worship means, sometimes we think worship means acting like everything is fine when it's not, right? That's not biblical worship. Biblical worship tells the truth. It says, God, I trust you. But it also says, God, I'm hurting. It says, you are holy, but it also says, God, for how long? How long am I going to have to endure? Biblical worship sings Psalm 150, but also cries Psalm 22, Psalm 150, verses 1 through 2, and then verse 6 says, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his abundant greatness. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's a sound of triumph, right? But the road to Psalm 150 runs through a whole lot of tears. Right? A whole lot of tears. They're full of lament, grief, fear, confession, and desperation. Now why is that? Because God isn't honored by fake worship. Not a fan, right? Not a fan of fake worship. He's honored by honest hearts, by us truly and genuinely opening our hearts to him. And like, spoiler alert, man, he already knows. So just be honest with him. He already knows what's going on in your heart. So just let it go, right? Just let it all go to him. The wilderness strips away the polished version of ourselves. You know, we look like we're, you know, everything's put together and we're doing all right on the outside, but on the inside, it's just a complete jumbled mess, right? And I've had plenty of days like that, and I'm sure you have too, right? We just have this facade and, you know, we have this big smile and everything's going well, but on the inside, we are completely shattered and broken. And in pain and hurting, man, give that to God. Give it to him. You know, we have this, maybe you're wondering if what we're doing here, right? We have this is actually a Mr. Clean thing, but it also retains water. So we're going to call it a sponge, right? So when we have things going on in our life, right, we'll say our life is like a sponge, right? So whatever we soak up, you know, we start getting, you know, pressure and, you know, whether it's, you know, just whether it's work, family, school, whatever it is that's kind of putting pressure on us, when we get squeezed, you know, that's what's going to come out. And if we don't have Jesus, if we're not focused on Jesus, then that's not going to come out. The power of Jesus isn't going to come out of us. But if we have the power of Jesus in us, right, and when we start getting squeezed through all the pressures of life and everything like that, when we squeeze it out, that's what's going to come out is the power of Jesus, or the power of having this relationship with him. That's why it's so important to have this, I should have brought a towel, this relationship with him, right? So we can, when things are going hard for us, right? We still, even when things are hard, we still want to be able to pour out into other people, right? And we don't want to pour out resentment, right, or anger or frustration. And we want to pour out the love of Jesus even when things are going really crummy in our own life. And that's why it's so important to have this relationship with him. It's critical. The wilderness doesn't create everything in us. It often reveals what's already there, right? So whatever junk we might be holding on to, you know, when we get that pressure, that's the junk that's going to start coming out. That's why we want to fill that. We want to replace the junk with Jesus, right? We want to do a one-for-one swap with the J's, right? Junk for Jesus. That's what we want. Trials can become holy moments. God uses them to show us what we need to do to change, what needs to be changed in our life. And often when we pray in the wilderness, we ask God for explanations, right? Like, tell me why. Show me what you're doing. Give me the timeline. God, if you can just make a nice little Excel spreadsheet for me so I can kind of understand what's going on, where I'm going to be, you know, in 3 or 6 months from now, that would be nice if you just kind of gave me that information. Maybe some color-coded answers, right? I mean, that would be cool. It'd be nice, right? That's not how he works. He doesn't usually give us a full explanation. He gives us something way better. And so, you know, people who might be going through this might not be a big comfort, but I pray that it is, because it is the ultimate comfort. He gives us his presence. He gives us his presence. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You notice that David doesn't say, "I fear no danger because I understand everything." Right? Nope, he doesn't say that. He says, "I fear no danger because you are with me," and that's the difference. It's not that we know everything, but we know him. Right? We know Jesus. In wilderness, we often ask for a map, but God gives us himself. That's the best map of all. The absolute greatest map of all. We ask for immediate rescue, but God gives us sustaining grace. We ask for the whole plan, and God says, "Trust me. Trust me." And for the believer, the greatest evidence of God's love is not that he always removes the wilderness immediately. It's that he entered into it first as the person of Jesus Christ. That's huge. Absolutely huge. Jesus didn't save us from a distance. He stepped right in as a person, as Jesus, into the wilderness for us and with us. Now trust me when I say that he is literally with you in the wilderness. I promise. This is my life experience right now. I can tell you without question, hesitation, or reservation that he is 1,000% with you in the wilderness. That's the heart of the gospel, that he is with us. You know why? Because he took everything for all of us onto himself when he died on the cross. And then as, you know, last week, right, he rose again on the third day. Like that is the heart. God is often doing hidden work before the fruit appears. Take a look at James chapter 1. "Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Nobody enjoys the cracking shell. Right? Nobody enjoys the shell. Just, you know, there's a funny skit of I forget what they're called now. The Skit Brothers or the Skit Boys. Doesn't matter. They're a Christian skit group. And one of them is, you know, taking like this hammer and chisel against the other one. And, you know, it's like, ooh, 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 right? And that's just God breaking away the shell, the shell of all the stuff that we're holding on to, the stuff that we're walking into the wilderness with or because of, right? And this is God just chiseling it away. And that's what's going on. That's why we face all these different things, all these different trials, right? And he's called us to be to persevere through those. But what's important is that he's with us. He is always with us. But also important is that this is going to be tested. Our faith will be tested, but it's also going to produce endurance. So when we have to go through another trial again or something, you know, another challenge, whatever it is, we will have just a little bit more faith and a little bit more endurance to get through it. And by the way, he's still going to be with us and he's still going to help us get through those different circumstances and situations. It produces humility. It produces dependence, perseverance, deeper intimacy, right? So when we're going through these things, I mean, how often do we just sit there and just pray and just talk with God, like, gosh, God, help me. Help me just get through this. Whatever you need me to do, however I should do it, whatever you think you're trying to help me learn or grow in or whatever, help me. When you can stand in the middle of confusion and say, the Lord is worthy, that hits different. That hits different, right? Because you're no longer focused on the situation or the wilderness that you find yourself in. Instead, you're focused on him. Right? When we focus on him, that's when things change. That's when we start to see a shift in something. Habakkuk says, and it's not going to be on the screen, but Habakkuk 3:17-18, though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, yet I will celebrate in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So even though there's things that, you know, he wanted and it's not happening, he's still going to rejoice, right? Like 1 Thessalonians, right, 5:16-18, right? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, right? And I took a picture of that this morning in full transparency. I took a picture of that this morning and sent it to a friend of mine, and I said, this is my favorite passage, because it's hanging up in the office. I said, this is my favorite passage in all of the Bible, but it is so hard to follow when you're struggling. Pray constantly. Or rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Those are three pretty simple things to do just in general, but when you're going through it, so hard, so difficult, but it is important that we do it. Paul and Silas are singing in prison at midnight. In prison, they're still singing. It's not shallow faith. That's seasoned faith, right? That's people who have gone through some things and have grown in their faith, and they continue to grow in their faith. That kind of worship doesn't grow in comfort. That kind of worship doesn't grow on a Sunday morning at Grace Fellowship Church. That stuff, that type of worship grows when we are struggling, when things are just not going well for us, and we just cannot figure out what's going on. Wilderness matters. It matters. We're all going to go through it. If you haven't gone through it yet, you're going to go through the wilderness, and it matters. The important thing is it's not forever. The wilderness is not forever, and I am thanking God for that. Those who belong to Jesus, story doesn't end in abandonment, but instead it ends in glory. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 5, it says, then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. That's where all this is going. That's where all of this is going. Every wilderness has an expiration date. I promise. That's more me telling me that a wilderness has an expiration date, but just trust that that is true. Every tear will be answered. Every sorrow will be redeemed. Every believer will one day stand in the presence of Jesus. In that day, our worship will be full, unhindered, and eternal. Praise God for that. But until then, God tells us to worship here. Worship where we're at, in grief, in loss, in confusion, in unanswered questions, in the wilderness. So let me ask you, what kind of wilderness are you in today? You don't have to, obviously don't answer that, but just think to yourself, is it grief, loneliness, spiritual dryness, disappointment? What is it? Maybe it's fear about the future. Maybe you have pain that you haven't told a single person about. I can tell you there's one that already knows. So just give it to him. If you're in Christ, your wilderness is not proof that God has abandoned you. It's the place where he's drawing you closer to him. So much closer than you've ever been before. I can tell you, I thought I had a very, very, very close relationship with God until January 24th, when my life came crashing down. And I can tell you, my relationship with him has gotten, oh my gosh, it's been so much stronger. It's continuously getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger every single day as I continue to navigate through the challenges that I'm going through. And it's awesome. It's one of those weird things where, like, man, this is really terrible, but I'm also, like, super thankful that I'm going through this, right? So that's where I'm at, right? It's awesome, but it's hard. The wilderness is hard, and I can tell you, it's probably never going to be easy. But I can tell you who lightens the load, and that's the person who died on the cross for you and for me, right? When we walk with him, that lightens the load so much. Do not waste the wilderness. Don't waste it. Bring him your tears. Bring him your questions. Bring him your weakness. Bring him your worship. Because true worship definitely begins when we're in the wilderness. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you that you are God, not only on the mountaintop, but also in the wilderness. God, teach us to trust your heart when we can't understand your ways. And help us worship you with honesty and with faith. God, even surrender. God, strengthen every heart in this room that might be weary. Remind us of the hope that we have in your son, Jesus. God, carry us until the day when every tear is wiped away and all things are made new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.